What up, American Horror Story cult fans? Stick around, because we are talking about American Horror Story Cult, Season 7, Episode 4, 11-9.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, American Horror Story fans!
Hey guys!
We're back! Woohoo!
Yeah.
The crew is back. We are here talking about American Horror Story Cult, Season 7, Episode 4, 11-9. I'm your host, Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And sitting next to me...
Hey, I'm Kelly McEnery. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Allen here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley Reed Allen.
And I am Sanders Kennedy. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Just Sans World.
Awesome. Ooh. So this episode, they're finally diving in a little bit. I feel like the first three episodes were just kind of giving us a little, almost like a little poo-poo platter of the world. Just yes. Like, hey, everything has gone nuts.
Yeah.
Things have gone crazy town banana pants.
Yeah.
You're all just going to be confused for a while.
Oh, yeah.
This episode, they're starting to piece things together, which I think that's good on the writer's part. I feel like if this had been another episode of I don't know how any of this is connected, I just would have been like, all right, I'm done. But I think they did a pretty good job this episode of kind of actually laying it out. It was all chronological. We had some jump backs where we got different stories, but it all kicks off the day before the election.
Oh, yes.
We see, actually, election day is when we kick off, as we see everybody in line, lining up for it, and we see little, you know, indicators of what's to come for each of these characters. But I gotta say, I felt like some of this dialogue felt a little forced. What did you guys think?
You want to know my real opinion?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this episode. I kept it all in. They didn't know how I felt. I actually loved it. I felt like it was meaty. I loved the backgrounds of it. This is what I was waiting for. Questions were answered. I loved it. I loved it. Keep on going with this. Thank you.
Same. I like this episode. It wasn't my favorite one, but I definitely...
Out of the four.
It was not my favorite one.
Which one was your favorite?
I would say episode 2.
Oh,
episode 2 was kind of my favorite. But I did like this episode. I liked how, like you said, we got answers. You kind of show how everybody's connected in some way. And I kind of got the answer to why Winter is still there.
Why Winter has not been iced out?
Yep. I told you from day one there's something up with Ivy.
I mean, Ivy has been kind of, we've kind of thought that she was in this cult kind of from the beginning, but now we're seeing a little bit more. The only thing that I don't get is we've had a lot of questions answered this episode.
That's what I was wondering.
We're only on episode 4.
Yeah.
So I feel like
we know
we could wrap up this
here?
Whole season next
they
week if we wanted to.
They literally stopped filming 2 days ago.
Yeah, like, and
oh, they finished the season.
They finished the season. They finished the season, which another thing that I do like, and that I will say props to them, is that this season they seem to have actually had kind of an overarching thing, whereas other seasons we've seen even in interviews and things where they're like, well, we don't know what's going to happen next. We're still writing it. We're still figuring it out. And it's like, you shouldn't be doing that when the show is airing. You should already know what is going to happen. So I'm feeling like they have an idea. I just want to know where the hell they're going to take it, because I feel like we could wrap up this whole thing and have all the questions answered by next week if we really
wanted. Is it going to be like every three episodes is going to be line up the questions, and on the fourth one is going to be here's the answers? Like, I like that they revealed a lot, but I feel like they revealed a little bit too much. It's like, we all know who the gang is. We all know how the mask came to be. Metal drew the pic. Like, we all know every little piece. It's
every
like, let
detail.
Us...
Well, we don't know why Winter trusts Kai, because they're both...
Well, we see...
Well,
she
aren't
even
they siblings?
Says where she says...
Oh, are they? Because I was thinking...
She even says that her main goal is to take a powerful person and rise them to power and support them. So she is even taking... Like, that's even been her...
Her goal
since before the election results we see. So it makes sense in the way that they've tied it all together, but it seems like all the episodes up to this point has been like, what, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if it's going to be what, okay, over and over and over and over again, I don't know if I'm going to be into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I have to admit, that a lot of it was predictable. Even though I did love it, I knew that Vinny, the boss at the workout center, was going to die, and I knew that he was going to die by the weights, just by, he was like, go big or go home or something.
Go heavy
yeah. or go home. I knew, like, he's going to get smashed in the face with a weight, just like in Final Destination.
So basically, he said, go heavy or go home, and you went, just wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
You're welcome.
It took a second. It took a second.
I'm sorry.
Good one.
No, the only thing this one... Okay, now when I say that I felt the dialogue was a little forced, for me, it was the beginning, Meadow talking about in line, who am I to vote? I could vote for the Emmys, but I'm not informed enough to be deciding who's president. And I feel like anybody who is actually taking the time out of their day to get in line and actually vote at a polling place isn't going to verbalize that. Yeah. Where that might be true, I feel like it would have come across better if somebody else had said it.
Like an 18-year-old voting for the first time.
Right. And I feel like her just being that self-aware... We haven't really seen that. I mean, we later see her trying desperately to bang her gay husband, which
only works twice.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Two times too many. I don't understand how that works. I'm like, how probably is that fun for you, Harrison?
Yeah.
But
I think he has more fun cleaning up the jizz in the shower.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm just like, how is she this? We haven't seen any of this self-awareness from her, so that line just felt very out of
context. Her character just seems unreal to me, too, because how she walks in and sees this dead body and is like, oh, this is as if my life couldn't get worse. Like, that, no normal person's going to react to that like that.
Well maybe it's just her personality. I'll bang you for a blunt. I was like,
And I was about to say, that blunt is not that strong for her to not have, like you said, some sort of reaction to seeing that. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah. But, I'm like, you can't take two hits off of a cheap blunt from some rando at the
hotel pool.
I was going
to
say that.
And then just be like, I'm cool with murder.
Exactly. It's like, I never smoked weed in my life. I don't know what it does to you, but I know that it doesn't take you from walking 10 feet to be like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it makes you see people being murdered and you're totally fine with it.
It's exactly like Reefer Madness.
It's exactly like that.
Never mind. I just feel like in past episodes, she's always come off as like strong and like sure of herself. And this episode, we see basically the total opposite. She seems depressed. She's not happy. They're broke.
It's very inconsistent. Where they
Well, that's why it's like that, because you have to rewind before they got their new apart,
their
house.
New house.
Right. So they were probably already torn down, and now that she's probably been officially part of the cult, she got confidence. So that's why she is acting
the way she is. But it's like, it just seems like if it was, she's super self-aware. She knows, you know, her own limitations. She knows that she shouldn't be voting. She's, you know, verbalizing all this thing. But then it cuts into later, then we have her whole breakdown. Time-wise, it's still going out of order, because she's super strong, super confident, she's nothing, and then her confidence is raised again. It just seems it's not... That's the one character that I feel like the writers were like, we need to get this line in. We need to make sure that everybody knows that here's our message, that we as a whole, nobody has it right, the left or the right, anybody who thinks they have it right, none of us are informed enough. And I get that that's what they're going for. Mm-hmm. Don't have that character say it, because it took me out of it.
Well, also, she's very, like, sloppily written, because, like, she just throws out she had melanoma and was assaulted at a craft store. So I think crafts shop.
Yeah.
So
she's...
I think it's just saying, oh, she's fucked up, so just don't trust her. She's, like, wacky.
No, that, I think, was another thing where they were trying to make this another character, like, kind of caricature of the everyman, and they're making Meadow be kind of the, you know, the stereotypical pumpkin spice latte.
I thought she was just trying to play victim.
Woman named Meadow.
That's what I thought.
But it's saying, you know, basically women are sexually harassed in jobs constantly. But they're forced to quit. And it's like, she had
melanoma.
Hold on, let me finish.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting to that. But melanoma, on top of that, that she throws in, she's saying that she didn't have the health care to have all of the, to, you know, she lost all of their money because she didn't have that to be, that wasn't covered. Mm-hmm. That's the writer saying, here's our reference to health care. Here's our reference to sexual harassment. Here are the pre-Trump things that we're saying, this is how this existed before. People just weren't highlighting it, and they were saying it in casual conversation. It was an intentional thing. But I'm saying they use that character to say all of these everyman things.
So, and I don't... Is it the delivery that you're not feeling?
No, it's the writing. The she's an amazing actress. It's that the writers literally give every one-off line mm-hmm. of here is our message for the general man to her.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And it doesn't, and it because of that, it makes her feel like she's not a dynamic character.
Okay.
And when you have an actress that good, and all of the actors on the show are that good, you need to make sure that every bit of material that you're giving them is something that feeds the show and also feeds that character, not making it go against each other, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm. I don't know.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like the only character that
Yeah, I'm just trying to see her as maybe she's just that ditzy character with a split personality. That's how I'm trying to form it in my head and not really dissect it, because then I'll be annoyed by it. It's just like, but it's just part of the character.
I think they just give her too much stuff, and it's like, how are you not reacting to all the stuff that you've lived your life with? Like, because she had melanoma and was assaulted, and she just like, I don't think she's that good an actress, or, like, I don't think the writing is as good because she should be reacting more, or are they giving her an excuse to be like, oh, that's why she's so, like, strong mm-hmm. and then, like, weak and then strong?
I think the thing is that these lines aren't about her character, and that's why they don't fit, is because it's about society in general, and they're giving these general society lines, and they're forcing them into her backstory, and they're giving her one line to say all of this stuff.
Yeah,
it's
she's
an impossible
basically
situation.
Like the community, and like she's everybody and everything.
She is every girl in Lululemon buying pumpkin spice named Meadow. They're all caricatures. Yeah. That's why Kai is the extreme far right. Allie is the, you know, the super scared far left, freaking out. And then we have all of these other characters that are kind of peppered through.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool seeing, you know, how we get the setup with the voting booth. But then going into Harrison and Kai's dynamic, and that Kai has just been stalking him, basically, and asked for him so that he could prey upon him.
Well, I knew that that's who he is. He preys upon the weak, and then makes them feel powerful by making them think they're actually doing it when they were actually told to do something.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I must say, Kai is very convincing. Like, he does a really good job of getting people's fears out of them and giving them the balls to do something that they probably never would want to or would do on their own.
Exactly.
So. I want to know how, though. Like, he doesn't seem that, like, intimidating to me for him to just be like, do it, come on, you could, and, like, killing Vinny, you know?
Well, he's super smart.
I don't think it's about intimidation. I think he's playing on their fears, and he's playing on their emotions, and he's giving them confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is.
He knows the triggers to, like, he knows what strings to pull on them. And being that he did say he's, like, really educated, he might be really educated in psychology and knows what buttons to push on people.
Yeah, he's a master manipulator.
I don't know if he's that educated, though, because he said he's, like, a part of something bigly.
Well, no, that was a Trump reference.
Trump reference, yeah.
Because that was 100% a Trump reference, because that's Trump's go-to word is bigly. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's why they said it, is it wasn't like a knock on his intelligence. Okay. It was an intentional, I am leading, which we're seeing now that we thought initially Kai was this, like, diehard Trump supporter, which we are seeing, and mm-hmm. that is the case, but he's using it as fuel for his own power.
Yeah.
It's not because he actually believes in Trump's message, it's because he goes, oh, this will get enough people riled up that then I can step in and say, I will be your savior.
Yeah.
Basically.
I really liked, and by the way, we love when you guys tweet us, so tweet us, let us know all of your ideas and your opinions on everything. But Mr. Devereaux, who has sent us several tweets as well.
Yo, he went wild.
Everything. Yeah, I'm loving it. But he said,
I didn't get anything.
So get on it, Devereaux, come on. Evan Peters is pulling the political version of Finn Wittrock's seduction in Hotel. I love that. I feel like that's 100%. He is, like, channeling Finn Wittrock in Hotel, like, 100% in this one, where he's got, like, that kind of suave manipulation thing, but it's just kind of this charm that...
I don't know if he's suave.
I think he is.
I think he's just very direct.
Yeah. He's very intense.
Yeah. He knows also when to cut through bullshit. Like, when Vinny sent Harrison over and he's like, hey, man, you know, you need to get him to spend more money. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to him like, here's you before, look at your pecs, look at your quads. Why are you talking to me like that, douchebag, Vinny?
Yeah.
And then with
yeah.
Beverly, when she's like, it's great to see you again, Bob, or it's whatever. And he's like, nah. He, like, replayed it. And it's like, nah,
well,
that's not your real voice.
Well, because he's wondering where
she was.
It's great to see you again, Bob. It's great to be back.
Yeah, so you back.
Where
yeah.
were you?
Yeah.
Which also was another, that one was a little too on the nose with the auto-tune. Like, and I like when they throw in the little comedic reliefs. Mm-hmm. And I get that this was like an internet commentary thing where it's like, you take all these serious situations and then the general public yeah. dicks up all, like there's all these serious murder things. This is somebody's life that's lost and somebody's jumping in, yelling, grabbing by the pussy. And then she starts beating the whole tar out of
them. Didn't they do an auto-tune thing last season?
They did. They've done auto-tune yeah. things a couple times.
And it's like we get, yeah, that was 10 years ago. What's his face? Hide your kids, hide your wife. Let
yeah.
it go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But people still keep auto-tuning weird shit. And I feel like that's Ryan Murphy's like commentary. He's like, yeah. you're sick of seeing this? Cool, me too.
Yeah. I think
so
they're
stop
really,
doing it, internet.
And, yeah, and they're really playing on the hip words of like, stay woke. I'm like, it's like, I know, like, by them using those terms, I know it's going to become unpopular probably after the season, which I'm thankful for. But it's like, it's just like when your parents do, and it's like, it's not cool anymore.
It feels too Scream Queens to me this season. Yeah. I think that's the issue that I have, is it feels like Scream Queens went away, and then the writers were like, wasn't it fun when we were super, like, kitsch with our murdery things? Let's do that this season in American Horror Story.
Yeah, because I felt like American Horror Story was very serious.
Yeah.
There was no laughs. It was just like...
there wasn't, like, all of this kind of kitschy... And when Emma Roberts showed up playing, which was basically Serena, who I was like, oh, this is just... 100%, like, you just came right out of the sorority and then got this job. Like, they told her to play it pretty much like the same character. Yeah. I thought for sure this was going to be a long-running rivalry that we see go out several episodes. I was wrong.
Once I saw it was guest starring Emma Roberts, I was like, she's not going to last. You gotta read those credits, baby.
There you go.
Well, I give you credit for that one.
So wait, can we rewind? What did you guys think about Kai and Harrison? Harrison, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kai and Harrison. Gym in the shower.
Yeah.
What was
the point?
The jacket scene?
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. Because I just try to look between the lines, and it's like, you know what? You have to go clean up some jizz, so I'm going to leave some for you. But I'm going to clean it up for you, so I'm doing you a favor. Now you have to do me a favor kind of thing.
Okay, but the lines we want to read between aren't lines of jizz. That's the issue.
It's not.
And I think they might have to even it out with their gay and straight audience of like, pussy, 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 jizz, jizz, jizz.
But they didn't even show his abs.
Because I love you right now. I just feel like that should be like the chant of this whole show.
I'm just going to take that clip and put it on my Instagram.
American Horror Story.
Okay. I don't know.
You didn't really understand the piece where we're connected.
I didn't think it was really necessary.
I feel like
I mean, I understand that where they were getting at with like the whole label situation, but I just felt like it was just a little bit too much. Just a little bit. I don't know.
I feel
American
like
Horror
was,
Story was too much.
Well, it's because in seasons past, every single action, whether it was something super far out, whether it was really gory or really sexual or, you know, gross or whatever it made you feel, there was a purpose. And each scene had some sort of meaning.
Yeah.
Whether it was either something to set up for something else or it was an allegory to some horror movie or was a reference to a trope.
Yeah, you're right about that, because when watching the episode, there are some scenes where you're like, I could have went up to the bathroom and came back and didn't miss anything.
Yeah. I could have gone to the bathroom.
But other seasons, it's like, no, I need to watch every single second or I'm all the way off.
Yeah, and so it just, I don't know. I feel like this one, they were like, let's do something about the election. And this one should have been a short series, almost. Like, I feel like they're ready to wrap this up. And I feel like since we've already had a lot of filler and we're only 4 episodes in, I want... And I never would think that I would ask for this. I want a B storyline. I want another storyline. I want something to fill it.
There has to be another storyline, because this storyline is going to be coming to an end in, what, another 2 episodes?
I'm worried that they're going to do what they did for Roanoke, how last season they had the whole first half was all
it was like
one
three
thing.
Parts.
Yeah, and then the second half was a whole separate thing. And that one they actually titled separately. They even had it like the reality show programming, and they made it separate. Mm. But I feel like this one... I'm starting to get the vibe that it's going to be kind of like that, but not as, I don't want to say thought out, but not as well executed.
Okay.
Okay, spoiler alert, if you're listening, pause your ears for a few seconds if you don't want to know the future characters that are coming up with Kai, Evan Peters. They said that he is going to be playing Charles Manson and a few other cult leaders. So I'm thinking maybe is it going to take another twist of like, okay, now he's Charles Manson for four episodes, or he's somebody else for four episodes.
Experimenting on different cults throughout the years.
Yeah, I think that's got to be what it is going back and kind of showing, you know, like the rise of cult leaders. Because the only way that this really works, I think, is if they make Kai a cult leader and they kind of have the Charles Manson thing where it's like, look, this could be a Charles Manson 2.0. Okay. This is how he got all of his followers. Kai's doing the same thing. I could see them kind of doing that. I hope that it works.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it works too. But I really love this episode, and I feel like they really found the good balance of funny and serious. Mm-hmm. It was like probably 75% serious and whatever percent, 25% funny. And it's like, okay, that's good.
I don't know.
Let's leave it that way.
I felt there was too much exposition. Like, I don't know. They answered too many questions. It was too much exposition. Now you know who the clowns are. I don't know. I think it was my favorite episode for sure. But
yeah. I liked the scene where we see Serena too out where she's got, you know, the puppy, and I should have known she was about to die because she was bitching about having to cuddle a puppy.
Yeah.
And anytime somebody is bitching about a puppy or a kitty, it's like, that bitch is about to die.
Well, I knew she was going to die because in the preview, it shows the clown walking up behind her. It's like, what is she going to do, shake her hand? Like, they shouldn't have shown that preview because I knew that she was going to die just from that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some things that I felt like, that I thought was my favorite scene, though. I feel like that was the most American Horror Story of all of them, was because it was, we knew something the characters didn't.
Right.
And this season, we haven't seen a lot of that. And we've had, you know, now we have the backstory. We know why Ivy is, you know, letting Winter run amok, basically, is because she's helped her kidnap
Hold
Gary.
It up. If Ivy knew Winter, Ivy Winters, why did she get mad at Allie when she got, like, her pussy grabbed by Ivy? I mean, by Winter. It's like, shouldn't you go after the girl that you already know? Like,
because I,
it's like,
like,
I trusted you.
Well,
or was
it
a setup?
I think it's a setup.
Yeah. It is a setup.
I think it's got to be a setup because I feel like Ivy's 100%. She's still not letting the Jill Stein thing go. And apparently that is enough that you can that's why I feel like, and I get that they're making fun of how everything has gone too extreme, but I felt like this episode was a little too extreme. I love Chaz Bono, so
getting
to see him and dive into acting, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's like, give me that big check just to sign a little thing next to Trump's name. I can't, like, mentally I couldn't take it that far.
That's the guy that chopped his arm off.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If I could turn back time.
Good
Sorry.
For him.
Yeah.
That was
I love
Chaz's
yeah.
mom, yeah. but also... He cut his arm off and probably wanted to go back in time.
Well, if we do go back in time, we see that the first episode, I believe, where you see Allie going into the supermarket, his arm's already chopped off. So you can see how it's like all set it up, and we all know who the clowns are now. So it's like she was set up. It really happened.
Yeah.
So the videotapes were erased and
I
did feel like, and I like that they keep doing, because I loved last season when they do the classic horror movie tropes, like we got like a lot of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and we got like very direct allusions. This one just felt like a very direct Saw allusion.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly. Yeah, but it just didn't feel like, it felt like it could have been more. Like, because this was a big moment that kind of ties things together.
Yeah.
And because we saw his arm like bleeding and, you know, like as he's going in to vote and is demanding that he votes while I felt like I would have liked to have that spread out over a couple episodes instead of all in one, because it was, here's the question, immediately here's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, all wrapped up. And it's like, you know that I'm going to be watching next week. Give me a little something next week.
Yeah. Mr. Devereaux mentioned the Saw reference in Twitter, and he made, like, a funny gif. Like, they are not doing a Saw reference right now, and just to...
Yeah, that's what the second I saw...
He saw it, too.
You and the phones, I love it. The second I saw him tied up to the thing, I knew that there was going to be, like, a Saw laying by. I knew that it was going to happen. But for a second, I did think that Ivy was going to cut off his arm, because actually that was the hand that grabbed the pussy. that got sawed off. I was like trying to connect every little thing. I'm like,
that pussy does grab back.
Yes.
Bite your damn hand off.
Basically.
I just would have, and this is such a stupid thing that really does not matter at all, but I'm like, you would have gone into shock and passed out. Somebody needed to be there to cauterize that wound.
Right.
Like, I just wanted to see some sort of, like, something. Like, I know there's no need for the science in American Horror Story, but I'm like, Chaz would have passed out.
Also, he's too passionate. Yeah, he's too passionate to vote for Trump. That just fills his adrenaline, just voting.
Yeah. Great for him.
I mean,
so is the season going to be, so we saw how he built his team, so now is it going to be like how he's going to use them,
I'm basically? Thinking that that's going to be it, the rise to power, because this episode too, we're getting so many little references to, you know, how women have basically just accepted this kind of rape culture mentality, where we even have Winter say, I keep a taser with me at all times because everybody's so rape happy on campus, and it's just like a matter of fact, like nobody is horrified by that. So I think that it's going to be him taking all of these people who have been ostracized, who have been pushed aside, who have been put in these horrible situations, and then saying, look, this is your time to take it back, and using that fear, and we're going to see how this cult grew.
Yeah, using the fear and the humiliation, because they definitely mentioned that several times in this episode.
How humiliated are you? Yep. That's humiliating. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more dangerous than a man who's been embarrassed.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like they're really driving that point home.
We have somebody in the chat that says they think that Ivy is the one who set up the camera in the bathroom.
I could see 100% Ivy being the one because she wasn't even taken aback that there was a camera.
Yeah,
I feel like.
I think like the next. I think it's going to be how they're going to get Allie to join the cult. That's the only one that's hanged.
That's what I think.
Allie's going to become the leader. I call it now.
Allie is the one who's so scared, and it's her fear, and they keep talking about fear is power.
Yeah. And they're building up the rage, not the anger.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've already seen Beverly, how she's saying... Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, from last episode, we saw her cross over from the fear to the anger when she hit Harrison. Or Meadow? Who did she punch last episode?
She punched Harrison. Meadow. Yeah. She punched Harrison, and it's like, you want it too, bitch?
Yeah.
So she's basically becoming inhuman.
Yeah, they're all becoming a little inhuman. And you know what? Support from this podcast actually comes from a brand new show, which is astonishing, and is also named Inhuman. Look at that! Marvel's Inhumans is... an awesome new show. It's the whole premise is that they're on the dark side of the moon and there's this civilization that exists, but they're having to go back to their real home, Earth.
Oh, yes.
And basically, shenanigans ensue. It's really awesome. It's the people who have brought us a lot of the Marvel shows, so I'm excited to see Inhumans. I think this one is going to be really, really good. It's going to premiere. It's a special two-hour premiere.
Get your snacks.
Yes. Friday, September 29th at 8/7 Central on ABC. So be sure to check that out. You can see all about this really amazing show. It looks really good. It's about this family that is being teleported. They've got, you know, the Medusa is the queen.
Oh, I'm watching for Medusa.
Anybody I'm who can weaponize their Medusa. Hair, I'm here for it.
Yes.
I'm here for it. That's some killer hair.
Yeah.
Legit. So if you guys want to check that out, again, that is on Friday, September 29th at 8/7 Central on ABC.
I'll be watching.
Yes. And... you can also check out some Inhuman Clown People on American Horror Story Cult, because it seems like we're going to have more and more and more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're getting the whole backstory of Meadow making the sketch. I just want like a Deadpool-esque costume design montage where they're just like making their awesome clown costumes. And they're just,
I think
like,
that's what
joking.
We're going to get. We're going to get like a Catwoman thing going on with the cat.
Yeah, like, you're gonna get that. I want it. I don't know why I'm super into it. Maybe it's because I love, you know.
Wait, so
Marvel
really quickly,
and things like that.
Now that we know who is the clowns, who do you think is who is what clown?
Oh,
like who do you think
easy.
Is the person with the
Ivy is definitely the girl clown with the stripes.
Yeah,
I
with the bob, with the dark bob is Meadow. The one with the three faces is Harrison, because when he was killing Emma Roberts' character, you saw the back of his, I saw the hair in the back. And plus, it makes sense, like, three faces. He's married to a girl, and he's gay, and I'm sure he has, like, this innocent side. I was just picking on that. I kept like picking it. Up on that.
Yeah. I was whatever that face was Kai. He shows to the world.
Yeah.
I thought it was Kai, too. But...
Kai is the one who told Ozzy to go back to sleep. That was just the...
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I think that one was Kai.
I think Kai was the one who was jacking it in the restaurant, because we all know how much he loves jacking it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. I wonder if Harrison, when he cleans it up.
He's like, Harrison, clean this up. Clean up aisle four.
Oh, my God. Why aisle
and
four?
Then, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm gay. I said I get the
reference. Four letters, four letters and jizz.
Oh.
I don't know that.
But I wanted to see what aisle number that Gary was on when he was attacked. I was like, is it aisle four? Oh, yeah. Is it aisle four? They're going to clean up aisle four?
They're going to
take
back.
It down? But I think I was just looking for things somewhere there.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that... we look for certain things to connect, and then they already answer. That's what they did with this episode. They already answered it for us. So it's like, right. Oh, great. Now I can't wonder about it for the next week.
Yeah. That's I know a lot of people, we've gotten some feedback on the show. Some people have said that we're a little too hard on it at some points. But the issue that I have with this season, and that I'm hoping, and this episode I feel like we're starting to get a little bit more of, but I'm hoping that it just becomes a little bit more cohesive and that there's some more references and some deeper meaning instead of just everything is so absurd. Look how absurd everybody is.
Yeah. And I don't think that this harsh. It's we're fans of the show. You're constructive of it because you want it to be good. So I don't think it's...
Tough love, dude.
Exactly. Yeah, we just got to tell it like
we're
it is.
We're the most critical of the things we love the most.
Yeah. I mean, because how would we be if we all sat up here and said, everything was perfect.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like,
and
you
people
gotta
be complaining.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah no matter boring. What, there's always okay. a complaint. No matter what.
We love you guys. Thank you guys for joining us in the chat.
Thank everybody for joining us on the chat. And also on Twitter and online. And make sure that everybody comments because we love hearing your comments. Even if you don't agree with us, that's fine. We just like hearing
you. Yeah, we love to debate. So bring something up for us to debate about for the next episode.
We'll be like Kai and we'll be master debaters.
Yes, with you tonight.
I need a drum for you.
I need some Taco Bell. That's what I
mean. Just crickets. Just crickets in the background.
I live for it.
Yeah!
I wonder if they heard it. Did they hear it?
Yeah.
Oh. I love it. So we've got a few more minutes before we have to wrap up here. I want to know your prediction.
And now, your After Buzz.
What are you guys thinking for next week?
Well, I'm taking a little clip from the preview episode for next season where Kai, what did he say? He said something to the terms of making me believe that he's going to make them do all bad things. And like, they're the murderers, see? They're crazy, but set them up to do that. He said some line, I can't remember it verbatim, but he said something about, I'm going to expose the killers or something like that. And that's I was just I like, think. He's going to set them up to make them look crazy, and he's going to be the hero.
That's what I think, too, because if you think about it, from what we've seen so far, and now that we know who the clown gang is, he's really, his hands aren't really that dirty in a lot of stuff. So I agree with you. I think that he's going to kind of just let them do all the dirty work, and he's going to sit back, and he's going to be the one walking around with the crown at the end.
Which is kind of like the Saw reference. Like, Jigsaw never killed anybody. He made them do it themselves.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. I like that. Especially, too, since, you know, we see Beverly say when they found Vinny's head that there was an anonymous tip that was called in. And we're like, Kai did it.
Yep.
And also, really quickly, about that website that... why am I forgetting everybody's names today?
The Scared to Death?
Winter, yes. Don't you guys think that that's the website that they've created?
Oh, 100%.
Because I saw something for the next episode, they were talking about fake news. So I think
Beverly,
this is,
when they're saying stop reporting fake news.
This is something that they created.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Because how else would the video of them in the bathroom get on there?
Yeah.
And then I'm sure on that website, you're going to see the murder of Vinny. I don't know if this is happening yet, but I'm sure Bob, the boss, is going to die. The anchor, I'm sure he's going to die soon.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see the murder of, because Beverly's like, oh, the clips, we haven't put them out to the public yet, but I've seen them. So all those clips are going to be on that website to incriminate everybody but Kai.
And Kai deleted the security footage, but
he probably saved it.
He kept those receipts.
He kept the receipts.
He kept those receipts.
I think think, like I said about Allie, they're going to try and get her over. And there's going to be something with the psychiatrist. I feel like maybe that's how he's figuring out who to pick. Like, he didn't just pick Harrison out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So maybe they all go to the same psychiatrist.
We saw him with those pills, the pill bottles. So it could be possible.
Who prescribed him the pills?
I think he's the mastermind. Kai is just the one who's doing all the work for him, though.
Just for his Adderall. Because I read it was Adderall. I didn't read the doctor.
I didn't get to see the doctor either. So, you know what? That makes
sense. So Kai is basically like, I'll do all your dirty work. Just give me this Adderall.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I could see that, maybe. I think that probably the psychiatrist does... I think that it's he's in on it. But that he comes in on it later. I think Kai somehow infiltrates and, like, takes all of his stuff and kind of manipulates his psychiatrist. Because a lot of highly intelligent people that also show kind of sociopathic tendencies will see, you know, when they're doing their psychiatry sessions, aren't actually trying to get help. They're trying to manipulate situations. Mm. So we could see that.
Okay. Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like a court-ordered thing, or he's sent to the psychiatrist. I don't know. I'm interested to see how the psychiatrist ties in, though. I think you're onto something, Kelly. Mm.
He's the only one we didn't really get answers for today.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to see some more, like, cool referencey things, because one thing that you found that I really, really liked was that you were noticing in the production design all of the honeycombs.
Yeah, inside the house of Allie and Ivy's house, it's like very honeycomb-esque. It has like the diamonds, they have the colors. It's just very like, why aren't you freaking out in your own home? Like, if you really pay attention, it looks a little bit scary. Mm-hmm. Like
the wickers and the couch.
And then at the restaurant, the windows to the getting into the back is like diamond shaped and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like,
I feel like it's the reference to this hive mentality, and we keep seeing all of the bee references and everything, which I think will tie in, or could just be an awesome plug to watch our AfterBuzz TV after show with all of our buzzy mics.
There we go.
Yeah. That wasn't right.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, before we're back here next week talking about some more American Horror Story, where can the fans keep up with you guys?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube at Just Sans World. And just a shout out, this Thursday, we will have Will and Grace after show at 7 o'clock. So make sure to tune if you're a fan of Will and Grace. I know there's two extremes, but hey, I'm a fan of both. But yeah, make sure to check it out.
Who doesn't like Will and Grace?
Oh, yeah.
So good.
And I'm Ashley Allen. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley Reed Allen.
Hey, I'm Kelly Mack. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo, and SNL's coming back, so I'm doing that after show on Sunday. So tune in for that. Ryan Gosling.
Nice. Yes. And I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl and on Twitter at Elena Jordan. And quick shout out to Jeremy Z following us on Twitter, giving us all of his awesome opinions. I promise I would shout you out. So at Jeremy with a Z.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey.
Thanks for watching. Hey. Thank all you guys for watching. You can keep up with us on AfterBuzz TV, on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Rate, subscribe, comment, do all that fun stuff, and then join us back here next week.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
See you next week. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.